All right. Shalom, Hakol Tel Adim. Everybody ready to go today? All right. Hey, it's kind of hard not talking to anybody. I'm glad you're here today, Derek. So, here we go. Let's begin with prayer. And if all of you received the Lord's Prayer in Hebrew, I hope you have. And I know you haven't practiced or anything, but if you practice, you can say the Lord's Prayer with me. So let's begin. Avanu Shaba Shabaim Yit Kadesh Shemcha. Tavo Mechuteka Yit Asero Tzanaka. Be'aret Ke Asher Ne'asa V'Shamaim. Ten Lanu Hayom Lekumukenu. Uselach Lanu Et Ashmetenu. Ke Asher Solechem Manachnu Asher Ashmelanu. V'yal Tevi'enu Lede Masa. Ke'im Chatzilanu Min Hara. Kilaha Hamamlaka, Vehagivura, Vehatif Eret, Leolame, Leolamim. Amen. So let's get started today. We have some things that need to be taught today so that you can start your Hebrew journey. Last week we learned three words, Tov, which is good. Anachnu, which means we also learned Bavakasha, which means please. And there's a trick to Bavakasha, because Bavakasha could also mean you're welcome. Bavakasha could also, like if you're handing somebody something, you could say Bavakasha, like here you go. But basically the word means please. Okay, and I want to introduce you guys to a couple of other words today, and this is the word that I want you guys to write down. Ane, and it's ane, okay? So I know I've got the I here, but maybe if I have to put two E's for you to pronounce it right, I will, but it's ane, okay? That just means I, okay? Efo. I'm just writing it like this so you can pronounce it. But F-O is where? Okay. Now, where is like, this can get you through a whole day in Israel, right? But you want to know where is what? Let's see. Now listen, okay, let's do this word, Sha-ru-tim. We'll write it like the American, but it doesn't mean team, okay? Sharutim is the bathroom. F-O-H Sharutim. Okay? Ha, I said ha before, and that might throw you off, but ha is just the. Okay? F-O-H Sharutim. You say, where's the bathroom? You might need that if you go to Israel. Or F-O, Misada. Misada. Okay, these are words that I want you to study this week. Okay, ane, efo, ane, what's the, you could say your name, ane, Pastor Sandy, ane, Pastor Ben, you want to introduce yourself. Efo, where? Efo hasharutim, where's the bathroom? Efo hamisada, or you can say efo. But do you want to just go to any misada, or you want to go to a good misada? So what's the word for good? We already learned it, right? Efo hatov misada. Where is a good? Efo tov misada. Where is a good restaurant, right? Ane, you could say Ane Ahavalecha, but I don't want to get a hold too far ahead of us, but Lacha is you, but then we'd have to get into feminine and everything like that. So Ane Sandy, Efo Hasharutim, Efo Hatov Misada, and then that is, those are the words I want you to learn today. Ane is going to be good. Okay, Sharutim. This is the word. Ha means just the, okay? So don't get that confused. Okay, ha is just the. Or you can say, Efo Hamisada, where is the restaurant? Or Efo Tov Misada, where is a good restaurant, okay? So those are the words I want you to learn today. I'm going to erase them, so I hope you wrote them down. Okay? Ane, you looking, Pastor Ben? Somebody saying, don't erase it yet. Please. Okay, I'm writing. I'm erasing it now. Because at the end of the class, you know, I'm going to ask you, what are the words you in Israel.
Sherry says she got it.
All right, Sherry, I'm glad you got it, because you don't want to be in Israel and you don't know how to ask where to go to the restroom. That may be a very important thing. or if you're hungry, a good restaurant. Okay? Safir. Okay, we're getting started today on one of my favorite studies in the Hebrew Bible, and that is the study of 8, the 888. And we know who the 888 is, and who is the 888? Jesus Christ is the 888. And he is Jesus Christ. Jesus was not Jesus Christ, just the name Yeshua or Jesus in Greek has the numerical value of 888. This is very important because it guides you through everything that links to Jesus Christ and is going to explain a lot of things about Jesus Christ. I mean, the whole name of Jesus being the 888. Now, you know, we all know that this letter, if you're at a Jewish party and you put this letter up, this is Chet, right? You put the letter Chet up. Let's put it out a little bit. You put the letter Chet up, and there it is, and that's the 8th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And what word is commonly used with Chet? Chaim, life. Chai, right? You hold your glass of Chaim lekulam, like a toast to everyone, right? So you say to life, everyone, okay? Chaim means life. So 8 is always associated with life, okay? Or a new beginning, okay? So you...
Can you tilt the board where there's no glare? They say they can't really see the...
Okay.
That's beautiful.
There we go.
Perfect.
Now, this 888 is very important. I want us to first... and I hope everyone has the book. I want us to all go back to this page right here. You have to see this page because this is where we're going to start. And if your page don't look like this, you don't have the right page. Okay, Pastor Ben is going to put it closer for you. Okay, here we go. Oh, my Stiladim. Now, at the top of this page, we're repeating something that we spoke about on the last message that we gave. And that is Yiro'ah Abraham, okay? Abraham, Yiro'ah Abraham, Elohim. Or it says, Ve'yomer Abraham. That's what it says in the Hebrew at the top. Ve'yomer Abraham, Elohim. So Abraham said to to his son, Elohim, Yiro'ah lo, Hasha, Ola, or God is going to appear himself as the lamb sacrifice, okay? So the basic thing is what you want to know here is Abraham, and see they have Abraham here, and we all know that originally his name is not Abraham, right? What's his name originally? Abram is his name originally. If you've been studying, and we went through it last week, what letter means the Spirit of God? Who knows that? Somebody can answer that. What letter in the Hebrew alphabet means the Spirit of God? And, okay, this is the answer. Hey. Hey means the Spirit of God. Do we have to go through that again? Aleph, Bet, Gamel, Delete. Hey, God built the house, showed kindness by opening the door. Then he sent the Holy Spirit to connect us to God, to give us salvation, and to give us rest and a new beginning, right? So, hey, this letter, not this letter, but hey, is the letter meaning the Spirit of God, okay? Hey, because hey is his breath, the ruach, okay? The breath of God is hey. Now, Abram, I'm going to try to write it this way. Here's Abram. Okay. Now, what happened with Abram? Why did God change Abraham's name? What was the purpose of changing Abraham's name? Let's see why, okay? Now, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, if you have a Bible, I want you to go there. I hope you have a Bible with you. Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. Here you go. Listen to this verse. And it says, and the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by what? Faith. Preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all nations shall be blessed. Okay? So it's the scripture says, Abraham believed God, and it was accredited to him what? Righteousness. Now, what did he believe that God told him? It said God preached the gospel to him. So that means God preached Jesus Christ to Abraham beforehand. And Abraham believed God, and because Abraham believed God, God justified him and made him righteous. Okay? Now, once you believe the gospel, what do you get? Salvation. You get salvation, but God has to do something because now you're going to become a new man. So what does he put inside of you? The Holy Spirit. So now God is going to put the Holy Spirit inside of Abraham. Why? Because he believed the gospel. Okay? So now, Abram becomes, let me put the hey in the middle of your name, and now you're going to become Abraham. Okay? All God did was add a letter to his name because it means the Spirit of God. He believed the gospel. Why shouldn't he have the Spirit of God in his name? So now Abraham must have told Sarah because God changed the name of Sarah to Sarah. And he put a hey on the other side of her name. So they both believed the gospel, and because they believed the gospel, God, because of his faith, God added the hey to Abraham's name. This is very important because of this one fact. Once he adds the hey, that means Abraham is born again. That means faith came before the law, because Moses is not around yet, right? So Abraham believed by faith. He is the father of everyone who will believe by what? By faith. So now, let's look at this, because we need to understand this. The word faith in Hebrew, I'm not going to write it in Hebrew, but the word faith, I'm sorry, in Greek, has the numerical value of 808. But also the name of Abraham has the numerical value of 808. So Greek faith is 808. Hebrew Abraham is 808. Did God do that on purpose? Okay, because every time God does something, not only does it have to match up, it has to match up numerically, because God is writing the Bible in numbers. Because every Hebrew letter is a number, and every Greek letter is a number. So while he's writing a story, he's mixing and matching numbers to make sure everything is tamim, which means perfect, okay? So everything has to be perfect. So Abraham in Greek, of faith in Greek is 808. Abraham in Greek is 808. I needed you to know that, because here he received the Holy Spirit, and he received it because he believed the gospel. The gospel about who? That guy, the 888, Jesus is the 888. Now, okay, watch this. You guys remember when Tim Tebow, we did the whole message on Tim Tebow? Okay, Tim Tebow put John 3:16 on his face. He had it. He was like, hey, man, I'm the starting quarterback for Florida, and today everybody's going to see that I got John 3:16 written under my eyes. Every time the camera's on me, everybody in the world is going to see John 3:16. I'm going to preach the gospel today. When the game was over, the guy said, what? Was it like 94 million people Googled John 3:16? So God wanted to show Tim Tebow a little thanks. Okay, so the next year, on the exact same day, Tim Tebow throws for 316 yards. Okay, and then I think he ran for 3.16 yards. And they had the ball for 31.6 seconds. And as Tim Tebow is going down, and he's going, every number for statistics for him for that day was 316. And he found out the day that he was playing this game was the exact same day 1 year ago that he wore John 3:16. Now, when I saw that, I go, impressive. Okay. But that wasn't the part that impressed me. He had not thrown for 316 yards yet. When overtime began, he needed 80 more yards to have 316, okay? So, guy comes into the game, and he's wearing number 88. They put the ball on the 20-yard line, okay? And they have to throw this pass for 80 yards so that they could get the touchdown. So Tim Tebow throws for 80 yards. They win the game. That makes his passing yards 316. And guess what? This has no value, really. It's a zero. So God wanted to let him know who was in charge of this day, and who is it the one that made you win the game, and who is the one that caused you to throw for 316 yards. And Jesus quietly said, Todah Rabah, and then Tim Tebow should have said, Bavakasha, because Bavakasha can also mean you're welcome, right? Okay, so That was God showing himself that he's real and he's still active in today's world, right? Tim Tebow was shocked, but I still don't know if he understands the number 88 catching the ball for 80 yards, okay? Now, I want us to look at this page, and I'm going to read this because this is the name. It says, Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child," okay, "and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." What does Emmanuel mean? God. That's right. Emmanuel is not a name, okay? Okay, his name shall be Emmanuel. Like, a name can also mean a title, okay? So his name shall be Emmanuel. And Emmanuel is what they call in English a participle, like it's a half sentence, right? It means God with us, okay? So Emmanuel is, he said, his name shall be called God with us, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto himself Mary as his wife, and knew her, and did not know her until she brought forth the son, and they named him Jesus. Okay, now this name becomes the sole authority in the whole universe. Okay. Why? Because of his obedience and doing what he was sent here to do, and that was to die on the cross. Because at any time he could have aborted the mission, okay? But Jesus, through his strength, through his bravery, through his ability to take pain, to his ability to grit his teeth and say, "I must complete this," we have no idea how much it took someone who could have stopped that at any time. 39 whips on your back and you could stop it at any time and you don't stop it? I mean, one or two, somebody's going to go, "Okay, that's enough, I'm done," right? But it said he held his face like flint and he completed the mission. So because he completed the mission, Jesus, Yeshua, becomes the greatest name in the history of the world, right? Even God himself says his name, he has placed his name above all names, that everybody, okay, angels, humans, everybody must bow down to the name and confess that Jesus, Yeshua, Yahweh's salvation, is God, right? Is Lord. Now, I want us to go to a scripture here, and if you're on the next page, I need you to go from where we were with Abraham, go to the next page, and you should be like that, okay? Because in this next page, God wants to show something, because as we get along in Hebrew, you're going to find out that gematria is very important, okay? Now watch this. Let's go to the Gospel of John. We're in the Gospel of John. Okay? In the Gospel of John, we have this. Okay? In Gospel of John, we have this famous, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." Now, when you say he was with God in the beginning, you're at verse 2. Verse 1 stands on its own. That's a whole new, different numerical boat trip. Okay? But verse 2 to verse 5 is telling you who the Son is. Listen who he was. He says, "He was with God in the beginning." Who? Jesus. "Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. the light that shined in darkness, but darkness did not understand it. So, verse 2 through verse 5. Do I have to write it or I have it on here? Okay. So, verse 2 through verse 5 equals numerically. And I know people say, why is the number so important? Because God has to put his signature on his scripture. Because no man can be able to say, I wrote the Bible. And to be able to have written the Bible, you're going to have to be able to figure out all of the numerical values and codes that God put in the Bible that you don't know about, to, so that he can put his fingerprint on it and say, this is who wrote the Bible. So now, let's look at something here. Okay, we know that Jesus in Greek is 888. Okay. But what is this name here? Yod, He, Vav, He. It's the name of God, right? What is that? 10. What is that? 5. What is that? 6. What is that? 5. 26. Okay? So, let's time 26 times 888. And what does it give you? What does it give you here? So, we go Yahweh times Jesus equals 23088. Okay? Now, the incredible thing is verse John chapter 1 verse 2 through 5 has 162 letters, and those letters equal 23088. So, John chapter 1, verse 2 through 5 is the numerical value of Yahweh times Jesus, and it gives you the exact numerical count of all 126 letters from verse 2 to verse 25. Okay? Now, there's 162 letters. What does 162 stand for in Hebrew? The voice of God. What else does it stand for? Benjamin. So the name Benjamin is 162. When what does Benjamin mean? Son of my right hand. The voice of God saying the son of my right hand is what? 26. Yahweh times Yeshua equals John. Equals John. 1, 2 through 5. Okay? That's God putting his signature so that now, listen, because somebody's going to come to you and say, Jesus isn't God. That's the whole, the big difference between being a Christian and being in a cult is that Christians are the only people that believe that Jesus is God. Because if Jesus isn't deity, he can't die for our sins. He can't redeem us. If he's not 100% man and 100% God, he couldn't have died for our sins. He couldn't have redeemed Israel if he wasn't God. And we'll go through that when we get further into our Hebrew study. But he had to be God to redeem man, and he had to be God to be able to repurchase Israel back their land and repurchase men back to himself. Okay? So, John chapter 1, verse 2 through 5 proves that. Okay, let's read. Now, there are other things in Scripture that equal out to 888, okay? The phrase in Psalms chapter 98, verse 2, the salvation of our God equals 888. Here's another one that equals 888. The heavens declare the glory of God. Psalms 119. What is that talking about? Okay? Because that's very important. The heavens declare the glory of God. When you take just that phrase from the book of Psalms, you are saying what? 888. Why is it important to God to make sure that when he's talking about this particular scripture, that he's talking about, that you know that he's talking about Jesus? Here we go. This is a great study and understanding. Okay? Now, in Psalms 19, God begins it off by saying, let's numerically value 888 first. Let's start it off like this. The heavens declare the glory of God, Jesus, 888. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Whose hands? Jesus. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. What? The stars, the moon, the sun, all of this is in the sky is telling you about who? Jesus, okay? It says there is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. So now you go to another complete study, and this is the study. Everybody knows that in this scripture, as we read it, it says this. Watch. Watch this. Where is this? I'm going to keep reading, okay? It says, there's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Now watch this. Their voice goes out into the whole earth, into all the earth. The words to the end of the world. The heavens, he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like the bridegroom. Who's the bridegroom? Jesus, right? Jesus is the bridegroom. So there's the sun in the sky. Who's the bride? The moon. The moon, because we're talking about the star constellations, okay? So now the scriptures just say the sun, the bridegroom, which is like the, he says, the heavens, he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like the bridegroom, which is like Jesus, coming forth from his pavilion. Okay, so the sun then becomes, this is where the crazy people began to worship the sun. The sun is not God. It's like the Egyptians, because they looked in the star constellation and they saw a star constellation that said the Lamb. They said, oh my goodness, in the star constellation it says that the Lamb is God. So you know what the Egyptians did? They made the Lamb a god, and they called him Amon-Ra. So they put the Pharaoh in front of a big statue of the Lamb and said that the Lamb is God. So then they made in Egypt, nobody can touch a Lamb because the Lamb is a god. And so God, of course, had to come and complete that. Where did they get the idea that the Lamb was a god? From the star constellations, okay? Now, so God makes the sun. I'm going to erase this. This lesson is over.
Deborah from New Zealand.
All right. Hey, Deborah. Welcome. And in New Zealand. Wow. Okay. So here's the sun. I'm not going to spell it with a, I'm not going to spell it with a U. I'm going to spell it with an O. Okay. And how many constellations are there in the sky? How many constellations? How many months are in a year? So, for us growing up, we know that there are 12 major constellations in the sky. Okay? So the sun has 12 what? Disciples, right? Because they're going to do what? Now, each one of these 12 stars have what they call decans. The decans are subplots. So each of the 12 star constellations has 3 decans, okay? So the 12 plus each one of them having 3 decans, that means there are actually 48 star constellations that talk about who? Jesus. The whole purpose of all 48 stories in the sky is to tell you the gospel of Jesus Christ. So God starts chapter 19 off by letting you know who this is about right away. He says what? The heavens declare the glory of God. And he gives it the numerical value of 888, which is Jesus. So now he's going to tell you that here we got all of these star constellations. And there's 12 of them, and they each one of them has, because it's not when Jesus comes into the world that Jesus says, hey, I think I'll choose 12 disciples to help me preach the gospel. Because he put the star constellation in the sky on what day? The fourth day of creation, he put the stars in the so on the fourth day of creation, God already knew that 12 star constellations would be the disciples to tell about the story of who? The Son. Because the Son is like the bridegroom, right? That's what it tells us. The Son is like the bridegroom. So since the Son is like the bridegroom, and that would be Jesus, he needs 12 star constellations, and they're going to preach. These star constellations are going to preach about the Son, okay? Now, how do we know that the Son, another reason we know that the Son is representing Jesus. Every year, the Son, not this Son does something. What does that Son do? There's a star constellation in the sky called Crux. Okay, we can say the Southern Crux, right? Now, every year, as the Sun gets lower and lower, it gets right here. And the Sun sits right there for 3 days every year. And we call it daylight savings time, okay? At the winter solstice, right? And it sits there for 3 days. On the third day, the Sun comes off the cross, and then we have more light for the rest of the year, right? So by Jesus' resurrection, we got more light in the world. So that happens every year. So it's letting you know that the star constellations, the Sun and the Moon, are speaking to us every day concerning what? The gospel. What's the purpose of the 12? Because the Crux is one of the constellations. What's the purpose of the 12? What's the purpose of the 12 disciples after Jesus leaves? Go and preach the gospel, okay? And that's what the 12 star constellations are doing, okay? They're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ every year, okay? That's why it's important to understand the star constellation. So God starts that off by saying what? The heavens declare the glory of God, 888. I'm letting you know that the star constellation is about Jesus. Let's continue on to the next page. I'm going to show it to you so you can see, and your page look like my page. See that? All right. You guys there? Here we go. Numerical values of 888. Salvation of our God. Who's the salvation of our God? Jesus, the 888. That equals 888. The heavens declare the glory of God. We just did it. That equals 888. Now listen. Let's to order no and 19. We'll skip that. Okay. The number 888 is the most symmetrical number in the Bible. Okay. So now it's a number that cannot be changed, no matter what you do. You can't change 888. Watch this. I'm gonna try to change 888 for you guys. Watch this. Now, see, if I had 727, I could say, okay, let's put 7 over here, and I change the number. But I can't do that with 888, right? Because 888 is unchangeable. It's an unchangeable number, right? You can't change 888, right? So, listen, now, watch this. The phrase in Scripture in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, that says, Ane Yahweh lo shaniti. Meaning, I am God, I do not change. You understand? I am God. I change not. Okay? Is the numerical value of 888. So God does not change. Okay? Now, if you read in the Hebrew, there are other numbers or letter or words that equal 888. One of the words is petachet, which means opened. What did Jesus open? Why would petachet, opened, have a numerical value for Jesus? Who is this? What is this? What letter is that? Delete. What does delete mean? Who opened the door? 888 opened the door. So the word to open in Hebrew has a numerical value of 888. Because God wants you to know who opened the door. It's 888. Okay.
That's Jana from Germany.
From Germany?
Jana from Germany.
Does he have a question or he just joined us?
Just joined us.
You're late, John. Johnny, you're late. But welcome. All right. That's good. Everybody can go back and rewatch and get the information more. Here we go. Now, the word in Greek, okay, the third day, okay, that's in John chapter 2, verse 1, that says, and on the third day there was a wedding. That phrase right here, the third day, has a numerical value of 888. Because on the third day is when it all happens, right? That's when he opens the door. That's when his name becomes the greatest name of all names, okay? Now, in Psalms, chapter 48, why 48 such a big number? Why 48 constellations, 48? Israel has to be rebirthed in 48. Why? Who is this guy? That's a delete, and that is what? A hey, okay? So that's the door, and that's life. So 48 becomes important to God because Jesus is the one that opened the door to life. You understand? That's why Israel is rebirthed in 1948. That's why Psalms 48. That's why there's 48 constellations in the sky. You know what's really funny to me? The word star in Hebrew has a numerical value of 48. So it's like, so I'm just letting you know that it's important to God that everything links, okay? Now, so at the end of Psalm 48, he talks about the rebirth of the nation of Israel. Why? It's the 19th book of the Bible. It's the 48th book. And he talks about the rebirth of the nation of Israel. The last verse in Psalms 48 is verse 14. And what does it say? It says, our God forever and ever is the verse in Psalms 48, verse 14. Our God forever and ever equals what? 888. The phrase equals 888. So it's like God gave you this chapter to talk about the rebirth of the nation of Israel, the door giving birth to life, everything's about Jesus. And then when he finally gets to the last verse, he wants to sign it. So he says, oh, by the way, our God forever and ever, 888. That's who's talking to you. Let's continue. Okay. What letter represents God? Let's talk. What letter represents God? Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Delete, Hey, Vav, Zion. What letter represents God? The Aleph represents God. Okay? Now, God is the Trinity, okay? So here we go. We got an olive here, olive there. Got an olive here and olive there. So we got one, 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 okay? And let's see if I wanted to spell. This is pretty cool. Okay. So, anyway, 8111 times 8 equals what? 8, 8, 8. So, this Trinity, which is God, times 8 equals this Trinity, which is the new beginning, okay? You have all these. Whenever you see a triple number, we're usually talking about God, okay? So here we have the 888, 111, three olives times 8 equals the new beginning, which is Jesus Christ. I'm going to continue. Now, here comes another Bible lesson. We can do that later. Yeah, we'll do that later. Let's look at this Bible study here. In Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. What is chapter 32 of Deuteronomy all about? It's all about this guy. The rock. Okay? So Deuteronomy chapter 32, and what does it say here? Let's just read one of the verses. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4 said, "He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he." Who is the rock?
Jesus.
Okay, then why is the rock numerical value 296? Because if it was Jesus, it seems like the rock would be 888, right? But now we go, God's a Trinity times 3 equals 888. And there you have, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, and the whole chapter is talking about Israel have rejected the rock of their salvation. And it's the whole chapter of Deuteronomy 32 is talking about the rock that they rejected, which is Jesus Christ. The rock is Jesus Christ. Now, if David picked up the rock and threw it at the giant and killed the giant, did David kill the giant or did
Jesus?
The rock killed the giant, because it's a prophecy that a rock is coming in the end times who will fight against a giant, which is the 666 giant. And so he's going to come back and he's going to destroy. The rock is going to destroy the giant, just like David did. That was a prophecy, another typology, right? Because we learned about typologies in the last message. Okay. Let's learn another lesson here about the 888. Oh, let's go to John chapter 3, verse 1 through 8. We'll read this. Okay, if you have a Bible, be there and make sure that you underline whenever we use the word. over there.
The enemy just had this.
See if you get
there
it.
There we go.
We're there?
Yeah.
Okay. I think. Can you guys hear me now? Okay, here we go. So now, John chapter 3, verse 1 through 8. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus of the ruling Jews, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus at night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no man can do the miracles you do except he be from God. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's one. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? That's two. Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? That's three. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. We're at four, right? It said, That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's five. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Okay? That's six. Marvel not that I said that you must be born again. Okay? It says this. The wind blows wherever it wills, and thou hearest the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from, where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The word born in the Greek used eight times in John chapter 3, verse 1 through 8. Why is this? Because the one that's going to give us the new beginning is 8. 8 is the numerical value for a new beginning, okay? Now, I'm going to, okay, this will be fun or this will be real boring if you don't get it. So I'm going to try to make it fun. Okay. In the scripture, he says, this son is going to be born to you, and his name shall be called Wonderful, right? Okay, let's write the name Wonderful. In Hebrew, here's the word Wonderful. Okay, and we're going to put an Aleph here. Okay, Pele, that is Wonderful. He's going to be called Wonderful. The son that is born to you is going to be called Wonderful. Now, is that Jesus' name? Okay, where are we reading from? Are we reading from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, right? I'm going to go there because I want you guys to fully understand this. Isaiah 9, 6. Okay, now... Jacqua's not here, but Jacqua did her final on this very chapter. And she discovered something else, another 888 in this scripture that I had not, but, you know, becoming a Hebrew student, it makes you look at the scriptures a little different. Okay, now, it says here, are we in chapter 9, verse 6, right?
Yes.
For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. He will be called Wonderful, comma, okay? It doesn't say Wonderful Counselor. He will be called Wonderful, okay? Now, that's Pele. What is the numerical value of Pele? 1, 1, 1, okay? Now, I'm going to write out the word Aleph. This is Aleph. Okay. And, okay. Now, see, that's this letter spelled out. Aleph. Okay. Who is Aleph? Aleph is God. Okay. So, look. Pele is just Aleph spelled backwards. So, of course, that numerical is what? 1, 1, 1. So, now look. So is the son he's talking about is also the Aleph Pele. Okay? So he wants you, God wants you to know, every time I talk about my son, I'm talking about myself. I'm talking about the fact that I am God. Pele is wonderful, okay? So his name shall be called Wonderful. What is his other name going to be called? Counselor, okay? And what is the counselor? Azor. Remember last time? Helper. So his name is going to be Wonderful, God, Counselor, Holy Spirit, Mighty God, okay? And that could be El Shaddai or El Gabor, okay? Everlasting God, it says Everlasting Father. So the Son is also going to be called the Everlasting Father. Wow. And the Prince of Peace. But he's going to be the Father. The Son is also going to, his name is also going to be the Everlasting Father. Now, that just doesn't make any sense in which, why people keep arguing about the Trinity. The Father can't possibly be the Son. But Isaiah 9:6 tells you that the Son is going to be born. He's going to be God, Wonderful. He's going to be the Holy Spirit, the Counselor. And he's going to be the Mighty God. And he's going to be the Everlasting Father. So, of course, when the apostles come to Jesus and they ask him what? Jesus, show us the Father and that will suffice us. And what does Jesus say? Haven't I been among you so long and you still don't know me? Don't you know that when you've seen me, you've seen the Everlasting Father? You understand? So this is why every cult does not want to believe that Jesus is God. Because to believe that Jesus is God means that you believe the testimony that Jesus gave about himself while he was here. And what did he tell the Pharisees in John chapter 8? He says, if you do not believe that I am who I say I am, you will die in your sins. So, can you be a Christian and not believe Jesus' testimony? Can you say, you know, I believe in Jesus. I believe that he was wonderful, but I don't believe that he was Aleph. You understand? You have to believe his testimony that Jesus Christ is who he say is. Okay? Abraham. Man, Abraham longed to see my day. Man, you're not even 50 years old. How can you say you've seen him? Before Abraham was, I am. And then what did they want to do? They wanted to stone him. Why? Because in the Jewish mind, they know he just declared himself to be. First of all, you're not supposed to say the name. You're not supposed to say the name I am. And he says it, declaring himself to be that. So, of course, now they want to stone him because he's making himself to be God. So if the Bible knows that a requirement of the belief of Yeshua is to believe his testimony that he is God, then for you to say Jesus is not God, but just a guy that Jesus, that God sent, then that makes you a part of a cult and not a part of true Christianity, because we know that God came down and died on a cross for our sins. And we're going to find out in other messages, lessons further that it had to be God, or else the job couldn't have got done. I'm going to show you one other thing, and we're going to be almost done for the day, but I'm going to ask you for the words I gave you today. All right? So now, what is this symbol here? What does that symbol stand for? What does that stand for?
Eternity,
right? That's eternity. That's, but it's an eight, but it's laying down. This don't become important until the eight does the this. When the eight stands up and resurrects, now it gives us what? A new beginning. Okay? This gives us a new beginning. Why? Because eternity is here and eternity exists. That's no problem. But until the eight comes and the eight lies down, and that's eternity, but until he gets up, the resurrection, that's what gives us a new beginning. Okay? Praise God. That is the story of the 888. And next week, we're going to make you mad because we're going to talk about the 1,000 years. Okay? So, the 1,000 or the 8,000 year plan, because they think we're on 1,000 years. Okay, now, what are the words that somebody tell me? Type it in. Tell me what's one of the words that we know for today? What'd you say? Ani. I.
Ani. That Sherry also said Ani.
Thank you, Sherry.
Cindy said Efo.
Efo. Thank you.
So did Darcy.
Efo. And Darcy says Efo. And what's the other word? Because I want to know where is what. Because I'm jumping around. I can't move. Shadow team. Efo Shadow team.
Sherry says Misada and
Ani. Misada. Okay, here, let's write that one after we write. Sha-ru-team. Okay, I'm going to write it like this. Sha-ru-team. Efo ha-sha-ru-team. Now, remember, I have to say the, and the is ha. Okay? Efo ha-sha-ru-team. Efo, where's the misada?
Hashir said misada.
Okay, Misada is the restaurant, okay? Misada is the restaurant, but we don't want to just go to any restaurant, so give me a word from last week that we could add to the beginning of this.
Darcy said Tav.
No, not a Tav, but a Tov.
Oh,
T-O-V. I want to go to a good restaurant. Efo a Tov Misada. Oh, yeah, they'll say Adurachov Chelza is a really good Hebrew restaurant or Jewish restaurant. Okay, so now, Ane, you want to introduce yourself? Ane, who? Who are you? Ane, Pastor Sandy. Let's learn one word today. Because you don't want to just bust in and start talking to people, right? This is a polite word that our parents teach us. Sli ha. Sli ha. Now that's a chet, not a hey. It's not sli ha, it's sli ha. That's a chet. Sli ha means what? Excuse me. Okay. Slicha means excuse me. Slicha. Slicha. Efo hatov misada. Slicha. Efo ha-sharutim. Where's the bathroom, right? Ane, whoever you are. You can pronounce who you are. But you want to know where is this? Where's the bathroom? And where is a good restaurant, okay? So those are the words of the day. Stay with me because I'm just teaching you basic words so you can begin to form sentences. Because we're going to get into writing it and everything with the Hebrew later. Okay? Now, I want to give you instructions. You have to write your letters over, okay? And it's not your fault. It's my fault because I didn't give you proper instructions. I said, everybody write the 22 Hebrew letters. When I said write, I thought that everybody would write the letters, okay? And you did write them. But when you write them, you have to write them as if you're going to write a letter, okay? Because if I come up here and I say, Ani rotze, okay? I gotta write a letter, okay? Ani rotze, meaning I want, okay? Ani rotze. So now we say, now if you write it like this and you're writing a letter, it takes me long enough because they're new letters, right? But if I'm not going to have time to write an aleph like this. Now that looks beautiful, right? But think how long it's going to take me to write a letter, because now I'm going to the next letter. Okay, and then I got to. So the letters you guys sent me were absolutely beautiful, but I can't have you writing like that, because later we're going to write sentences. So I need you to just write the letters like my name is. Sandy, okay? I just need you to write the letters like that, okay? Write them exactly on the way, on the one that I gave you with the Lord's Prayer. Write them exactly like that. But don't color them in. Don't make them beautiful. And you guys made them beautiful. I want to frame some of them. But don't make it beautiful. Only one person just wrote it out and she got a 100%. Now listen. When you write the letters out three times perfect, okay, when you write them out three times perfect, then you'll pass the letter test. That means I know that you know how to write the letters and you know how to write them perfectly, okay? So you got to always be practicing the letters, writing them perfectly, okay? So I want you to write the letters again, but I don't want you to draw them. And I don't want you to calligraphy them. I just want you to write them as if you're writing a letter, because we're going to, part of this class is to learn how to read, write, and ledeber. So, kare, katav, ledeber ivrit. You got to read, write, and speak Hebrew by the time we're finished with this lesson, okay? So I want you to write the letters out, 22 letters, and send them. Can they just send them to me, Pastor Ben? Okay, so send them to Pastor Ben. And if you send it to me, I have to still send it to Pastor Ben, but because he's tracking them. Okay, so send the letters again and practice your words, because all these words I'm giving you are going to be on your test someday. All right, so that's it. Let's say a prayer and pray out. And I'm going to need my... Shall I sing it? Ivoreka Adonai Vishmareka Yair Adonai Panavileka Vehuneka Viase Adonai Panavileka Veyasim Lakai Shalom. So, and what does that mean in Hebrew? I mean in English. Here it is. Here's the scripture in English. God says, say this to my people. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom. All right. We'll see you guys next week. Write your letters and learn your words, because there is a test. Don't hate me if I don't like your letters. Just say I'm learning. Remember, you guys are way better than I ever was my first time. All right.
How long do they have to turn in their homework?
You got till Wednesday morning, before the day of the next class,
to turn in the first session.
We're starting over, so this is it. We're starting over. There's one person that did the letters perfect, and I am going to count your letters as perfect, that you passed one. Now you have to write it two more times perfect, but everybody else needs to write it three times, the letters three times perfect, before you pass the letter test, because you got to know all the letters perfect. So that people can understand what you're writing. Okay? All right. Praise God.
Tell them S4C Troops.
S4C Troops.
At AOL.com.
Exactly what Pastor Ben said.